भगवद्गीता 2.35 भयाद्रणाद् परतम् मंस्यन्ते त्वं महारथः येषां च त्वं बहुमतो भूत्वा यास्यसि लाघवम्. कृष्णा इज एक्सप्लेनिंग टू अर्जुना व्हाई ही शुड नॉट फाइट, व्हाई शुड नॉट गिव अप द फाइट रादर, एंड he's talking about how he will be dishonored. And Arjuna, we may argue that actually, you know, I will not be dishonored because I am giving up the fight out of concerns of compassion. My action is noble. And I am considering that my elders, like my guru and my grandsire, they are my venerable superiors, and it is out of my respect for them, and it is out of my noble willingness to give up my kingdom, even when I have a right for it, and even when I have the competence to win it, even then I am giving it up. So my action will be considered noble. But Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna the sobering reality of how public perception often is at variance from the private intention. So, his personal intention within the heart may be noble, but the public perception will not be. So, the public perception will be bhayad ranad uparatam. Bhayad, because of fear, ranad uparatam. Uparatam means to stop fighting. Yatro uparamate chittam. When Krishna is talking about samadhi in the 6th chapter, verses 20 to 23, at that time he will say that the mind uparamate, it completely stops activity. So similarly, in this war, you stopped fighting. Why? Mamsyante. They will think like this. Tvam maharathaha. You are a maharathaha. But people will think that you fled because you stopped fighting because of bhayad, because of fear. And yesham chitvam bahumato. And who will think like this? Those who had a very high respect for you. Yesham chitam bahumato. Those who thought very greatly about you. Bhutva. It will become. What will become? Yasyasi laghavam. You will be considered among them insignificant. Laghavam. There is laghima siddhi, where to become lighter than the lightest. So to consider light, frivolous, childish, infantile, cowardly. So, you know, somebody gets a case of nerves and fleas, that's bad enough, but somebody actually becomes cowardly and goes away, trying to rationalize on cowardliness, that's even worse. So here, it is important for us also to recognize the variance between our intention and others' perception. And we cannot say that we just don't care for others' perceptions, because we do live in an interdependent world. Even if we are practicing spiritual life and we have spiritual goals, still we live in the material world. And by living in the material world, we have to interact with the rest of the society, and we cannot have constantly an adversarial relationship with the rest of the society. Adversarial means that we consider them our enemies and they consider us as their enemies. So actually, the whole concept of we-they is based on a misconception. You know, it's not we-they, it's all of us are we. Even they are we. That they are also parts of Krishna, they are also beloved children of Krishna, and unless we have that vision that they are also we, then we cannot actually be compassionate. We will be so judgmental that we won't have any room in our heart to be compassionate. So the point is, that's a different subject about whether how we should not be judgmental, but we should be compassionate. But turning that around, people acquire certain perceptions based on actions. They usually can't see our intentions. And therefore, it's important that there is explanation of our intention, and there is, first, whenever possible, if we have to do certain actions which are likely to be misunderstood, then we need to explain what we are doing. And further, if certain actions are very likely to be misunderstood, then we may well have to avoid those actions, even when our intentions may not be wrong. So that means there are three things here. There is the intention in our heart, there is the action that we do physically in the world, and there is the perception that people acquire in their minds. So it is our intentions that are behind our actions, but it is our actions that determine people's conception, people's perceptions, their conception, their opinions. So if now why we do a particular action, people don't know in our heart. People can't see our heart, they can only see our actions. And based on the actions, they will try to use their experience, their frame of reference, to find out why we are doing what we are doing. And therefore, we will end up, and sometimes they may ascribe wrong motives to our actions. So, for example, if a devotee, say, decides to, if a young boy decides to become a brahmachari, then often people think, oh, this person has such a bright career and this person just left everything. Why was that? Oh, probably he got some frustration. Maybe he had some, he got some frustration in some romantic relationship. Or maybe his parents didn't love him. Or maybe he was anyway a failure. He couldn't do well in his career. So he decided to become a bawa. So basically what happens is people see an action, and within their frame of reference, they for them spiritual life is just escape way, a negative refuge. It is not a positive achievement, or it is not a positive step forward for them. They think the only positive step forward is in the material trajectory, in the career, in the material realm. So they see the action. Now the devotee may actually be inspired by the mood of selflessly, vigorously, intensively, exclusively sharing Krishna's message. And that's why the devotee may want to dedicate the life to Krishna. But that's not how people see it. So sooner or later there has to be some communication. Now when in ISKCON's history, the devotees started joining ISKCON, and they started living in temples, shaving their heads and dancing on streets, and in general doing things which seemed so far out for the people in America that they started wondering what is making these people do these things. And at that time there were other certain pseudo-spiritual teachers who were brainwashing people. There was one Jones who got people to live in a cloistered community with him, and he actually got over 1,000 people to commit suicide. He said that if you have faith in me, then commit mass suicide and then you will be delivered. And they actually did that. It was such a terrible thing. And then that created a great cult scare. And many times the public started ascribing to devotees that, oh, you also, imagining that you also been brainwashed, that's why you have been doing like this, and maybe you will also end up doing something like that. So better that we will make you deprogrammed, and in that way we will save you. So often the parents and other relatives of the devotees thought they were doing something very valuable by doing the deprogramming, something good. So then actually, now at one level the devotees had to fight in court. And one way could be just simply demonize the deprogrammers and demonize the others who were trying to stop the devotees from practicing bhakti, we may say. But then you have to understand that their perception also is grounded in their experience, in their frame of reference. And in their frame of reference, what devotees were doing was not only incomprehensible, but it seemed dangerous. So then the devotees actually networked with many respected scholars. And then the scholars wrote books, and the devotees distributed the books about how, talking about how Krishna consciousness is an ancient tradition, and it is a respectable tradition, and it has roots going on thousands of years in India, centuries if not millennia it has been going on. And then they actually got over the cult scare. So similarly, as devotees, that is of course at a big level, which happened several decades ago. But we also, when we are working with our relatives, with our colleagues, with others, when we choose to act in particular ways in order to follow devotional principles, if people are likely to get wrong impressions, then we need to clarify. Either we avoid doing those actions, which may lead to unnecessary wrong impressions among people, or we clarify so that people understand what we are doing, and even if they don't agree with what we are doing, at least if it's intelligible to them. So there is acceptability and intelligibility. Means acceptability means okay, I accept what you're doing. Intelligible means I don't accept, but at least I understand what you're doing. I know where you are coming from, although I don't agree with you. So we need to consider public opinion for many reasons. First of all, otherwise we will face unnecessary hostility in our own practice of bhakti, and we will also face unnecessary difficulty in our outreach in bhakti. And so that way we can understand that the need for having proper channels of communication, to recognize that for people their perceptions are the reality of their perceptions are their reality. And we need to, that reality, their perceptions are wrong, it is our responsibility to correct it. So here Krishna is warning Arjuna that, you know, that people will get this perception. And they will start thinking that you are insignificant. Even those who have honored you, they will dishonor you. And you will not get an opportunity to clarify to everyone. Because such a big army with millions of warriors assembled and your fame is spread among so many people. To whom will you clarify your intentions? So, Arjuna, do not act in a way which will give people reason to think that you have acted out of cowardice. Thank you.